When you think of the word hope, what comes to mind? For most people, the word hope brings images of things that will most likely never happen. And that's the way that we consider hope. We would like to see certain things happen, but we don't really think they'll ever come to pass. So we say, that's something that I hope would happen. The shy guy in high school hopes that he could ask the most popular girl to the dance. Friends in Chicago hope the Cubs would win a World Series. The poor man hopes that playing the lottery would give him a new life. Hope in the world is this idea that conveys a desire to see something happen which will never most likely happen. And the one who says, I hope, knows that most likely this will never happen. But for the Christian, and in the Christian mind, and in the Scriptures, hope is something much different than what the world believes is hope. Today we continue our look at 1 Corinthians 13 as we've been meditating our way through this chapter as we prepare to come to the table. And over the past 14 sermons, we have looked and meditated on some of the characteristics that make up Christian love or Christian charity. And we've seen the definition, and we've looked at some of what makes up biblical love, and we've compared it with wonderful things. We compared it with spiritual things, with spiritual gifts, and with mercy ministry, and even with martyrdom. And we said that without love, those things are nothing. Spiritual gifts and mercy ministry and martyrdom, without love, they're nothing. And we've seen it compared with other wonderful things as Paul struggles to have us wrap our hearts and minds around what love is. And we know that Paul struggled with giving us that definition because he's had to use negatives, hasn't he? He says, here's some of what love is. It's patient, it's kind, and he goes on. But then he gives negatives. It's not this, and it's not this, and it's not this, and it's not this. And then he gives all of these grand all things statements. Charity or Christian love, it's does this and it does this and it does this and it encompasses all things as it does it. And this brings us to our statement for today. Love hopes all things. Love hopes all things. What can we learn today as we prepare to come to this table? How can we better prepare and meditate on this connection between love in the Scriptures and hope in the Scriptures? And how are they connected in God's Word? We're going to look at love hopes all things under two headings this morning. And we're going to begin with an understanding of biblical hope. An understanding of biblical hope. As we look at biblical hope as compared with the world's definition of hope, we have to start with this definition. I mentioned that when the world considers hope, it's often this desire to see things come to pass that are impossible, or they're things in the realm of wishes, or something that will never happen. And that's not biblical hope. Hope in the Scriptures is something much different. One definition is, hope is the converse of pessimism. and the essence of healthy optimism. Hope is never focused on oneself, but it is always focused on God in Christ. So when we think of hope in the Scriptures, it's not a pessimism, but it's a healthy optimism, and it's looking at that optimism through the work of Christ, through the work of God in Christ. So hope has to do with optimism, but it's not a Tony Robbins type of theology. It's not a theology that is just being optimistic for the sake of optimism. It is Christ-centered. And it is focused on the person and work of Jesus Christ. So as we think of love, and as we think of biblical love specifically, we must understand that biblical love has an optimism in the way that we live out our lives. In all of our expressions of love, whether that's love towards God or love towards neighbor, love within the context of the church, love within our family, any aspect of love that is from a converted heart, it must have this optimism attached to it, because love hopes all things. Remember that all things can also be interpreted or translated as always. Love hopes all things, or love hopes in all ways. Let's go a bit deeper as we unfold this. The Greek word here for hope is elpizo, and the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament notes that in the Old Testament, the foundation of hope, there is no neutral exception. It's not like we find the word hope, and then we find another word hope, and this one is centered on God and His coming Messiah, and this one's not. In the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, hope is always having this focus. Hope is an expectation for good. It is linked with trust. It is linked with a yearning for God, and it is differentiated from fear. Not reverence fear, but unhealthy fear. So long as there is life in the Scriptures, there is hope. It is not a dream that offers us some comfort as we struggle our way through life. To hope is to trust. Hope is demanded in bad times as well as in good times. And hope is not our own projection of confidence in things. Like we talk about personalities. We say, that person is pessimistic and that person is optimistic. Biblical hope is not personality driven. It is driven by a focus on Christ. It is driven by a looking unto God in confidence for what He will do. Because as Jeremiah the prophet says, God is our hope. And this is important. It is not neutral. It is not something that needs to be conjured up from within. Where you look at the person with the more pessimistic personality and you say, you know, just look within yourself and you will find that optimism. We don't have to do that as Christians. I think that's liberating, isn't it? That we don't have to just conjure up some personality that's not ours. We look to Christ. And we say, even though I may be this way, and even though this may be the way I am by default, I know what the work of Christ will do. I know what the work of Christ can do. Hope is something that is centered on God, and this is why our love hopes in all things, or hopes all things. Because as we love, and as that expression of love is unfolded in our life, it is filled with this confidence that God will do what He says He will do. Hope looks to Him who none can control. Biblical hope is free of anxiety, says Isaiah 7. Biblical hope accompanies reverence of God, says Isaiah 32. Biblical hope is a quiet waiting on God, says Isaiah 30. And in the Old Testament, hope is always eschatological. You say, well, what does that mean, Pastor? Hope is eschatological? Well, it means that hope looks ahead. And loving biblical hope is something that looked ahead in the Old Testament for the coming Messiah. Eschatological means the study of the last things, those things that would come at the end. And as the Old Testament believer lived his or her life, as they lived in the midst of life, they looked ahead to a coming Messiah as the one who would give them hope. Hope in the Scriptures looks ahead to that day when all things would be made right. We look ahead for that justice that God promises. We look ahead for that redemption that God promises, that fullness of redemption. The Old Testament word for that is shalom, isn't it? For that completeness, that complete peace, something we're looking ahead to. The Jews of the Old Testament looked ahead in hopes that the Messiah would come to deliver. And as they loved with that hope at the center. They looked to God for the coming of the Messiah as the center of all of their hopes, in all of their desires, in all of their loves. We would call that Christ-centered hope. When they saw culture collapsing around them, they looked ahead to the coming Messiah, and they continued to love even the place where God had them, whether that was in Jerusalem or Babylon. Hope required them to look ahead. And this was true in all of their hopes. When they were confronted with their sin, they looked ahead to the Christ that would come and pay for their sins. When they failed at reflecting God's will, or failed at reflecting God's image or character, they looked ahead to the Christ who would come and fulfill the law on their behalf. When they worshipped in type and in ceremony, they looked ahead in hope that the Messiah would come and give them spiritual worship. They hoped. And they hoped upon hope as they looked ahead. And that hope was always connected with their faith, and it's always connected with the expression of their faith, which is their love as they live that out. That's why Paul later says, hope, faith, hope, and love continue, because they're intimately connected. That's what the author of Hebrews says as well, isn't it? As he connects hope and faith, he says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And then he gives that whole litany of hopes as the Old Testament saints march their way towards that city whose builder and maker is God. They hoped in the midst of all of these aspects of life that were against them. Hope and love are always connected. Love hopes all things. Charles Hodge said that love hopes the best in regard to all. Gordon Fee said that hope loves to the end that God will show mercy on that person's behalf. Kistemacher says, Paul frequently writes the verb to hope, which appears in his epistle 19 times. Hope is patient, waiting for positive results that will be realized. New Testament hope is the confident, present assurance in a future event. Albert Barnes says that hope trusts that all will turn out well. This is New Testament hope. It is a grace that is closely and intimately connected with love. And it's always present as we love biblically. As we love with a Christ-centered love, a grace-saturated charity is always filled with hope. We are to be a people of hope for the sake and glory of Jesus Christ. Love hopes all things. As we have looked at an understanding of biblical hope, and as we've looked how it's connected to love and how it's rooted even in the Old Testament to the work of the Messiah, and it's eschatological in nature, we want to not just leave biblical hope in this realm of definition or this realm of theory. So we want to give you some ways that you can apply this as you think about biblical hope. And that's going to be our second heading this morning. Applying biblical hope. Applying biblical hope. I'd like to give you three ways to apply biblical hope as we come to the Lord's Supper this morning. And as we come to this table that is set before us, I want you to see how intimately connected this means of grace is with the hope that we have as Christians and the love that we are called to express as Christians. Now, I'd like to again remind you of this one definition as we apply. Hope is the patient waiting for positive results that may be realized. It is the converse of pessimism, the essence of healthy optimism. It is never focused on oneself, but always on God in Christ. So how can we apply that understanding of biblical hope? Well, the first way that we can apply this is that we ought to have hope for Christ-centered growth. We ought to have hope for Christ-centered growth. If you are anything like me, there are times in your life when you come to worship and you see this table that is set before you, and you go through in your mind that catalog of sins that you repent of, and that you repent of, and that you repent of. And you can come to this table even with discouragement as the result of your self-examination. You come with discouragement because as you've examined yourself and as you've reflected on your spiritual life, as you've prepared for the supper, you're discouraged because it seems as though your growth in Christ is so slow. Or your growth in Christ brings the same sins to the table that you brought last time. We come to the table and we acknowledge that we still struggle with those old and familiar sins. We still struggle with the unbelief that we struggled with a year ago. We still struggle with that old man or that old woman that fights within us against the redeemed man or the redeemed woman that lives within us. Love hopes all things, reminds us that we do not need to be pessimistic or negative about the work that Christ is doing within us, however slow that may appear. Christ is doing a work through His Word, through the means of grace, through this sacrament, through His Spirit, and we can come to this sacrament with joy, knowing that Christ will complete that work that He has promised He will do. And that may be slower for some than for others. That may be something that appears to be slow. But friends, I promise you that we can thank God for His slow and faithful work. Because none of us would want to be sanctified like that. God's work at times does appear slow in our lives. As my mentor as an early Christian told me at one time, "Nathan, you want to be an oak tree, not a mushroom. We want deep roots as we grow." And friends, we can have hope and confidence in His work as we come to this table, knowing that God will give us that Christ-centered work, that He will complete the work that He has promised to do. Love hopes all things. Friends, do you find your love for God in Christ turning to hope? As you are called to love God as that first great commandment that is in response to our being in union with Christ, do we find that love filled with hope, or is it filled with discouragement and pessimism? Because if it's filled with discouragement and pessimism, we are free and we're encouraged to place that at the cross and to take up that joy and to take up that optimism, not in ourselves, that optimism in Christ, that He will do that work that He has promised to do. The essence of healthy optimism, Christ-centered optimism, says that He will do the work in your life that leads to your growth and your sanctification and the eventual fullness of all that Christ has purchased for you. As we love God, we should love with that Christ-centered hope that says that He will do the work that He has set out to do. Love Him with that assurance in hope, because He will work in you. And at the same time, we're called to love our brothers and sisters with that hope. Don't look at yourself and say, "You know, God is working in my life, but you know, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, I'm not seeing a lot of growth, so I'm questioning." Friends, we're not called to do that. We're called to encourage one another in our growth. To encourage one another as we are all disciples of Christ coming before Him. We're all disciples of Christ if we are in union with Christ. Love hopes all things. The second application of biblical hope that I would like to bring to you is what I would call hope for lost causes. Lost causes are the people in our lives or the events in our lives that we love. And as we love, we even love with a pessimism because we think, you know, I'm going to keep loving this person. It's not going to do any good. Or I'm going to keep loving this person. And I question whether they will ever bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. We love in the midst of lost causes. You may wonder if there's ever hope for a friend or a child or a parent. Maybe it's a covenant child that you've been praying for. And you wonder whether you should even continue to pray. Maybe it's a broken relationship that you've gone through the process that the Scripture sets out and you've attempted reconciliation and just that reconciliation doesn't happen. Maybe you've stopped asking God for help. Maybe it's an unbelieving parent or an unbelieving sibling. Or it may be a sinful pattern in a relationship that you have with another Christian, or a sinful pattern even within your own life. There are so many things that we consider to be lost causes. So many times where we try to love, but in the midst of that love, we miss this element of hope. We don't apply the element of hope to our love. We must apply hope as we love. It's not optional. It's not, here's biblical love, and if you're super awesome, you're going to put hope in the midst of that love. No, love hopes all things. Love hopes all ways. As we love, we will incorporate hope into that love. Friends, I hope that is a great encouragement to you as you consider the lost causes in your life. As you consider the lost causes, either the person that is in your mind or the event in your mind or the relationship in your mind. As you apply love, do not separate hope. Love hopes all things. We also must apply hope for the advancement of the kingdom of God. As we love with hope, we apply that to the work of the kingdom as well. That's here in this congregation. It's in the greater church. It's in the global church. Friends, we don't get our view of the finished work of God in Christ from the newspaper. And for those under 30, a newspaper is sort of like an app on paper where you can read the news of yesterday. We don't get our view of the work of the kingdom from the internet or from Twitter. We get our view of the finished work of Christ from the pages of the Old and New Testament. Our view of the advancement of the kingdom of Christ must be one of hope. And you might be thinking, Pastor Nathan, I don't know why this is an application. It really seems like that's just sort of your thing, one of your pet doctrines, and maybe you're rabbit trailing, we remember that hope is always connected eschatologically in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's always looking ahead to that finished work of the Messiah. And that finished work is that the kingdom of God may be built, that the kingdom may come. When we get our eschatology from the headlines, we fail to look to Christ with hope. And we fail to understand what He is doing. We fail to see the end game. You see, we're not called to hate the world that He is redeeming. We're not called to hate the nations of the world. We're called to hate sin. We're called to hate worldliness. But we love those that Christ loves. And we love with hope. We love the nations of the world, knowing that He will redeem that which is His. We apply biblical hope even within the advancement of the kingdom. Our love and hope always lead us, or ought to lead us, to a greater desire to see Christ receive His full inheritance. And when we think about love in this way, we see that a grace-centered, Christ-centered love causes us to pray. And it causes us to share the good news. And it causes us to love our neighbor. And it causes us to desire to see that great commission fulfilled, both locally and globally. We love as Christ has called us to love. When we look ahead with this eschatological hope, knowing that Christ will make all things right as part of His kingdom, He will right all wrongs as part of His kingdom, He will wipe all tears as part of His kingdom. Our love is full of hope in Christ. So we have hope as Christians, as the redeemed. We have hope. We have hope that our Savior will redeem us and continue to do His work. We have hope that Christ will redeem from the so-called lost causes. And we have hope that He will redeem the nations unto Himself. So friends, as we come to this table, we don't come with a pessimism that says, I'm just getting enough grace to get me through to the next time. We come to that fountain, that outpouring of grace that is filled with hope, because it is out of the love of God in Christ that we are able to come. Out of love, His flesh was torn. Out of love, His blood was poured out. We come to this table filled with hope. A hope that is connected to love. Hope in the Redeemer's work. Hope in the Redeemer's love. Hope in this means of grace that points us to Christ in His finished work. A grace that calls us to keep loving and to keep loving with hope, even unto the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.